Hello, everybody. This is Scott Yates, Director of Communications and Producer Relations for the Washington Grain Commission, here with episode 153 of Wheat All About It, or what I'm calling When Trade Teams Come Calling, Joe Bippert Answers. Bippert, who was hired 3 years ago to serve as program director at the WGC, is in charge of providing an overview of Eastern Washington's wheat industry when trade teams come calling, which means he gets a lot of opportunities to hone his presentation. Once a relative backwater for trade team visits, Washington now regularly hosts more than a dozen teams from various countries annually. Check out the WGC section in the November 2019 issue of Wheat Life to read more about how foreign trade teams work and their importance to the region. I have included a whole host of PowerPoint slides from Bippert's presentation at the Washington Grain Commission Facebook page. Although you can still enjoy the podcast without the slides, this is the rare occasion I'm going to suggest you take the time to check them out. The slide looking at protein levels over a selection of years is particularly interesting as a proxy for seasonal rainfall. And the one showing historic levels of club wheat supply and Japanese use is also instructive. While you're at the Washington Grain Commission Facebook page, please do me the favor of following or liking the WGC. It's another way to get updates about the podcasts I post each Tuesday morning, and I've got to admit, it makes me smile when I spot the alarm ringing that signifies a new like. Bippert has updated and modernized the WGC's PowerPoint presentation since his arrival. Unlike yours truly, he is young enough to have actually taken courses at university in various technologies that I have barely picked up in the School of Hard Knocks. PowerPoint was one of his classes, and I think it really paid off for us with a WGC presentation that definitely holds the attention of our visitors. Part of that is because of the videos of scenes that Bippert has taken from above with the Commission's very own UAV, that is, unmanned aerial vehicle, otherwise known as a drone. Bippert's a licensed drone pilot, and the shot he takes of Eastern Washington farm ground from an aerial perspective is put to great use in his presentations. I recorded the following November 5, 2019, in the WGC's boardroom at our office west of Spokane on Sunset Boulevard. Bippert and I discussed recording his presentation during an actual interaction with the trade team, but decided against it, owing to the possibility the effort could influence their discussion and questions. Also, be aware that WGC CEO Glenn Squires and Vice President Mary Palmer Sullivan are often present during Bippert's presentation, adding their own observations and commentary. With that, plus questions, translation, and discussion, a typical trade team presentation may last for an hour and a half. What you have here clocks in at 20 minutes. Every trade team gets a slightly different presentation based on their home country or region. The PowerPoint that Bippert uses for this presentation was the template for a Japanese Flour Milling Association team earlier this year.
So I'd like to welcome everyone to Washington State. When our teams are in town, we always like to give them a little overview of what is happening with our crop this year, as up-to-date as we possibly can, but also kind of an overview of what makes the Pacific Northwest a unique location to purchase wheat. So the very first thing that we like to look at is kind of the role of the Washington Grain Commission. And this is similar to that of other commissions. While our funding structure might be different, generally our missions are similar. Everything that we do really starts with the farmer. The farmer is the one who pays our bills, and everything kind of ends up coming from the farmer. And so the farmer sells his wheat or her wheat to the grain elevator. And at that first point of sale, 0.75% of the total selling price comes to the Washington Grain Commission. Now, those assessment dollars are invested in areas where the farmers feel that there needs to be a priority. And the farmers have indicated here in Washington that our priority should be in three different areas: in marketing, education, and research. Now, like all other things, we can't fulfill this mission without important partners. On the marketing side, we work with U.S. Wheat Associates, who use assessment dollars that we pay in our dues to them to leverage support of federal dollars in order to complete international wheat initiatives and activities. We also work with different research groups, such as the Washington State University, which is Washington's land-grant university, and USDA's Agricultural Research Services. And those assessment dollars that we use to fund research support various research projects that we'll cover a little bit later. And then on the education side, we work with various organizations that will help us either educate consumers or educate farmers as well, and others that might need to learn about our industry. Because everything starts with the farmer, what we look at is all these assessment dollars that we're spending. We want to make sure that we're providing a return on investment back to the farmer. And so that's important to us, to recognize that when it starts with the farmer, we want to make sure that it's well worth their investment. Taking a look at our research, this year we will spend an estimated $2.5 million on research. What that will end up funding is about 36 WSU scientists and 19 USDA scientist projects. And so that funding does go a long way. We also have several endowments with Washington State University. And how endowments work is these are long-term investments that help fund research projects so that if the Grain Commission were to ever go away, that there would still be funding for research in critical areas such as variety development, cropping systems, and other things like economic analysis, and so that farmers would continue to have those research projects in perpetuation regardless of where the Grain Commission is at. And so those dollars originally invested were $8 million. Then those are reinvested, which earn interest on the principal, and that interest is used to fund the endowment in perpetuity. We focus our research in three different areas: in variety development, plant protection, and cropping systems. And then hopefully all of that research provides you with quality wheat that you're able to count on. Farmers have a lot of decisions that they have to make when deciding what varieties to plant, whether it be agronomic considerations such as precipitation, disease resistance, how it's going to handle up through the winter. All of these things play into their decisions. We provide farmers with a certified seed buying guide, and that works with the Washington State Crop Improvement Association, which analyzes every year what the varieties are doing in their region. All of this information is also on a small grains website hosted by WSU that farmers can use online to do through a variety selection tool to help them decide, according to the region that they're growing in or the specific area that they're growing in, what varieties are going to do best agronomically. But then farmers also need to take into consideration milling and baking aspects that will impact your quality, such as grain quality, milling quality, and baking quality. We fund, along with Oregon and Idaho commissions, a preferred wheat variety brochure that grades each variety based on a weighted average. 10% goes to grain quality, 40% to milling quality, and 50% to baking quality. So those varieties are all analyzed using 23 different fields, which looks at the agronomic data, the end-use data at the Western Wheat Quality Lab, and then in order to get into these brochures, we need to have 3 years of testing data. What we tell farmers, or what we encourage farmers to do, is as they're debating between different varieties, that they choose the variety that's going to have the highest end-use quality score to it. And this will help ensure that we're constantly seeking to improve our quality of the varieties that we send out to you. I mean, farmers need to make sure that agronomically they work for them, but then we always say that if there's not a market to sell it to, if we don't meet the quality considerations of the market, then we're not going to be able to sell our wheat. And so we want to make sure that end-use quality is always being considered in planting decisions as well. Looking at the different production zones that we have, these production zones are based on several considerations. All of them have similar growing conditions, and they also do have similar transportation systems. The north central, central, and northeast regions are typically what we would consider the exportable wheat that is grown in the Pacific Northwest. We'll take a look at those transportation systems, but we also want to do quality analysis according to the different regions. So we work with the Wheat Marketing Center in Portland, Oregon, that helps us compile data and publishes it in a soft white wheat harvest quality report. This publication is made available at crop quality seminars conducted by U.S. Wheat Associates in the fall. And then we also have electronic copies that we can send you as well, or hard copies. But this looks at flour and wheat and flour quality data, physical dough properties, and finished products. And it breaks it out by region so that you can get a good overall picture of what the soft white wheat crop is doing every year. Over time, what we see is that there are specific advantages as it relates to Pacific Northwest soft white wheat quality. At the export elevator, you're seeing lower impurities over the five-year average with zero damaged kernels, no foreign material, very little shrunken and broken, and just overall defects are lower when you compare to other classes of wheat. Overall, we also see versatility in soft white wheat out of the Pacific Northwest. Your lower protein can be used for cakes, biscuits, pastries, wafers, cones, and other snack foods. Higher protein soft white is good for crackers and flatbreads. And then overall, soft white is great for blending, mellowing out stronger wheat varieties, such as Asian noodles, and we're also seeing a lot of success in blending it with hard red winter wheat, and bread wheats. Taking a look at our protein over time, what we see is that there's protein is somewhat cyclical here. And last year, we noticed that protein was very low, and as anticipated, the protein this year is a little bit higher. Now, protein is based on what nature is going to provide for us, but as the weather is cyclical, we also see that that our protein varies as well. And so this year, protein is about what we would hope on average. If you look, though, at a further breakout of what our protein levels were, 58% of our protein was found in that 9 to 10.5% range, which is generally where our customers want the protein to be. And then 14% was below 9%, so that lower protein range. And 28% was above the 10.5%, so that higher protein range. If you look at an average over time, generally what we see is that about half of the wheat is going to be in that sweet spot, the 9 to 10.5% range, and then you're going to break it out about a quarter and a quarter of the lower and higher protein. So over the five-year average, it's a little bit different of a picture, but that's generally what we would see over time. What that means for you as our customer is that we have a good enough variety of wheat in order to meet your specifications that you have based on protein. The higher protein can be blended with the lower protein to make sure that we're always falling within that area or that protein range that you might need. Taking a look at what the availability is of PNW wheat, one thing that our region doesn't have is a whole lot of options beyond wheat. And so what you generally see is consistency across the board with our planting. Looking at it this year, again, we're seeing very similar planting levels as we have in previous years. Taking a look at our top 10 varieties from last year in the Pacific Northwest, this is something that we always like to point out because we get a lot of questions about the sheer number of varieties that are out there and that are available, and trying to base decisions off of specific varieties. But what we really like to point out is that these varieties represent 58% of the total soft white wheat hectares in the Pacific Northwest. So if you look at the preferred variety brochure ranking, everything is in the acceptable to most desirable range. And so you're seeing that as wheats get blended together at the elevators, it's going to be of a quality that meets your end-use needs. If you look at wheat classes grown in the Pacific Northwest, our region is especially good at growing the soft white wheat. So about 76% or 3/4 of the wheat that's grown is soft white. For 2019, we produced a total of about 7.9 million metric tons of wheat. 81% of that was white wheat, and then the other 19% was broken up by hard red winter, which was 11%, and hard red spring, which was 8%. You'll see that hard red spring production this year was quite a bit lower than last year. That's because as farmers went into their spring planting season, the price of hard red spring wheat was down significantly. And so instead of planting hard red spring, they planted soft white spring acres in order to get the better price and not have to go through the rigorous process of the inputs that it takes to be able to make protein on hard red spring. Looking at our estimated soft white wheat supply, you can see that with the lower production this year, our supply is anticipated to be down slightly. However, if you look, and our prices are based off of world production, as we are a main exporter, we are very export dependent. Wheat prices are actually fairly low at the moment, and so while soft white wheat prices might stay a little bit more stable, just given that our supply is a little bit lower. Here's a look at our top 10 markets from last year. As always, we just want to thank you for the business that you provide for us. I mean, in total, we exported 5.5 million metric tons of white wheat, and we can't do that without the support from our customers. So as we continue to move forward, we continue to look forward to working with you and hopefully supplying you with the wheat that you might need. Looking at our club wheat availability, club wheat is grown in three primary regions, but really the bulk of club wheat is grown in that north central region. And then you are also seeing varieties that are coming out that have shown to do well in the Palouse region and also in North Oregon. As we look at our club wheat supply and demand situation, this year, because there wasn't a premium, plantings were down. And so that means our production is going to be down and our overall supply is down. Generally, what this means is with Japan being our number one customer and buying most of the club wheat, what it typically means is as they continue to purchase, we will have enough to supply the Japanese market. But you will see some of these customers that buy when the premium is low or non-existent, they will likely drop off, and Japan will just take a larger portion of that supply. So this chart really shows the supply over time as it relates to Japanese demand. You can see when supply is down, like in the 2013 and 14 growing seasons, that Japan just took upwards of 65% of the club wheat. And so we anticipate that being similar this year, where Japan still has enough supply in order to meet their demand. But as other markets drop off and the club wheat premium continues to go up, which it already has, that they won't be purchasing as much, if at all. Looking at our transportation network that we have, you know, this is a distribution of all the wheat that moves to export. Now, 3% of it goes by truck, but I always do like to highlight the trucking industry because all of our wheat is dependent on trucks to get from the field to the country elevator. And so trucking is extremely important for our industry. But the bulk of it goes by the river system. So 60% of our wheat goes down the Snake Columbia River system. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. And then 37% of the wheat goes by rail. Looking individually at these systems and how they all operate together, first taking a look at our river system. So our river system is made up of 8 navigational dams and locks with a support system of 27 river elevators. Taking a closer look at these river elevators, what happens is the wheat is loaded onto barges from the elevator, and then those are collected in 4 barge tows and sent down river. As we look at what happens down river, the 4 barge tows will enter into the lock, and then like an elevator, they'll lower the water level and then open the gates, and they'll be able to pass down and continue downriver to the export facility. The other 37% is moved through our Class 1 rail system, and this is supported through 5 rail terminals that are fed by a network of country elevators. We also have a state-owned short line rail system that will bring grain from the country elevators to the shuttle loading facility. If we want to take a closer look at that, the shuttle loading facilities are really a testament to the technology and investment that we put in our infrastructure here. So these rail cars, especially at this facility that we see here, which is Highline Grain, are loaded, and each car can be loaded in under 4 minutes, allowing them to load a 110-car train in under 8 hours with a very limited crew of about 5 people is what it takes to load these. And so this is extremely fast and extremely efficient and really allows us to move grain efficiently, whether it be by rail or by barge. It gives the Pacific Northwest farmers multiple options to be able to move our grain to export. As the grain arrives by barge or by rail, it's then unloaded at the export facilities where it's able to be blended in order to meet our customer specifications. Federal grain inspectors will inspect it to ensure that what you ask for is what you're going to get. Once that's done and it meets inspection and meets grade, then it's loaded into ships and sent to you, our customers, in order to make the products that you need it to. So as you can see, it's a really complicated network that focuses on quality from the moment that the breeders will make their first cross to the time that it arrives to you. And even beyond, we know that your focus on quality is important, and so your customers are demanding the quality. And so we need to make sure that we focus on that quality all throughout the life cycle. In order to kind of sum all of this up, we've actually put together a video that highlights the focus on quality throughout the life cycle of our grain here in the Pacific Northwest.
I'm going to try to get that video Bippert described on our Facebook page too. It includes some of those spectacular aerial views that I talked about in my opening. Hosting trade teams as part of building relationships with overseas customers is one of the most important things the WGC does for the farmers it serves. Once again, be sure to check out that November 2019 issue of Wheat Life for photos of trade teams and an article that addresses the effort that staff and commissioners here put into them. I hope you enjoyed episode 153, or what I entitled, When Trade Teams Come Calling, Joe Bippert Answers, about the presentation the program director at the WGC provides teams for wheat buyers that come to Washington. Please join me again next time for another episode of Weed all about it.
We're all children of a special treat, a miracle of nature that we just call wheat. A crop that's in the Bible, a crop that's in our bread, a crop that's filled our bellies and held us in good stead. Through a history of starvation and times of want and woe, wheat has been our savior, our grub, our gruel, our dough. There's always lots of problems when we have enough to eat. But there's only one dilemma when there's not enough wheat. We feed you.